KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:02, it's cloudy, 61 degrees, with a little light drizzle here in Atlantic. We look for drizzle this morning and scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high around 68. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance, with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Radar shows some scattered light rain occurring over portions of western and northwest Iowa, and then there's some more shower activity entering the southwest part of the state, down around the Shenandoah and Clarinda area. And that particular batch of precipitation is moving off to the east and a little bit of a trend toward the northeast. In the news, the mother of an Iowa National Guard soldier from Oskaloosa says he's recovering from wounds he received when his vehicle struck a road mine in Afghanistan. 26-year-old PFC Tyler Servoy was wounded Tuesday afternoon with three other soldiers. Guard spokesman Colonel Greg Hapgood said this morning that three other soldiers are also Iowa Guard members. Hapgood said he won't be releasing their name, though, and other details until later today. Servoy's mother, Sarah Crosby, said her son was being flown to Germany, where he's expected to have surgery. She says her son is very grateful to be alive. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Confused about health insurance? You're not alone. Nowadays, health insurance is a necessity. But how much? What kind? How big of a deductible? Write this name down. United Group Insurance in Griswold, Atlantic, Red Oak, and Shenandoah. That's all you need to know about health insurance. United Group Insurance. Simple, straight talk about your health insurance coverage. And because we are United Group Insurance, an independent agency, we shop around for the best plan and rates for your personal and group insurance coverages. United Group Insurance. If you can't get to us, we'll come to you. You can't beat that. Look, isn't it time you got some straight talk about your health insurance? United Group Insurance in Griswold, Atlantic, Red Oak, and Shenandoah. United Group Insurance. People you know. People you trust.
The Missouri River is now expected to rise 2 feet higher at Blair, Nebraska than experts had previously predicted. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said it revised its prediction for the river near Blair because of new information it received about how fast the water is moving at that point. The Corps now says the river will rise to between 32 and 34 feet next week after releases from Gabbins Point Dam increased to 150,000 cubic feet per second. The river at Blair was already at 30.16 feet today, and that's well above the flood stage of 26.5 feet. The Corps says the gauge at Blair doesn't collect data on the flow rate, so a team was sent out to collect it. The adjustment doesn't affect other locations on the river. Hundreds of people leaving flood-threatened homes on the rising Missouri River may not be able to return before late summer. The river is set to reach peak flows within days, but won't get back to normal until September, as officials manage swollen reservoirs. Hamburg officials are skeptical that two levees protecting their town will withstand the onslaught and have ordered half the town to evacuate. They warn that any water that surges into Hamburg will be there to stay. The timeline has even veteran Rivertown residents resigned. They're packing belongings to last a season and face weeks without an income. One Hamburg business owner, who's already taken most merchandise out of his auto parts store, said the precaution alone will cost him $35,000 a month, even if the store remains dry. After the feds fled the flood, farmers in the southwest Iowa are fighting the high water on their own. Hamburg Fire Chief Dan Sturm said the main levee along the Missouri River just south of town was seen to be weakening on Sunday, and the levee sprung a small leak that shot out water like a geyser.
It also had an additional collapse the following day, just south of it, about 100 feet. At that time, the Corps of Engineers found it too unstable to be working on, so they pulled out.
He says several of the locals formed a team to save the levee and hopefully save the town.
A couple farmers took it upon themselves to go ahead and pull in some more heavy equipment. They brought in more dirt and heavy rock, and they have really strengthened up that section of levee, and it is really looking a lot better. So we may have bought quite a bit more time of that, and they actually may hold that right there in that section.
He says Hamburg could also face a threat from the opposite direction, from the Nishnabotna River, so that flood wall is being shored up as well.
Placing sandbags on the Nishna levee that runs on the east side of town, that's just a precautionary measure.
And he says for now, as of yesterday anyway, the Missouri River was fine, but the Army Corps of Engineers had expected to drastically increase flows from the Gabbins Point Dam near Yankton, South Dakota next week, and that'll change the whole ball of wax. The Missouri River is already overflowing its banks along Iowa's western border, and the flooding is about to significantly worsen. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, as we mentioned, plans to start releasing even more water from upriver reservoirs next week due to heavy rains and a record snowpack that's still melting. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says congressional hearings may be warranted over how the Corps has handled the dire situation.
I'm of the opinion that it never hurts to take an in-depth look at why we're in a situation we're at in the Missouri River. Although I will say at the outset, I don't know that you can say that the Corps of Engineers is to blame for this.
Some critics are quick to blame the Corps for what may be record flooding, though officials say they were on track through March until some upstream areas received a year's worth of rainfall in 1 month's time. Harkin says no one could have predicted that.
We're in a whole new era now of what are 100-year floods and what are not 100-year floods. We've had that same situation, as you know, in Des Moines. I'm all for, you know, examining what's happening. Are there other actions that should be taken? Does the Corps need more money to fulfill its obligations?
And hundreds of western Iowans and eastern Nebraskans have already been evacuated from their homes. Some predict the floodwaters may remain for weeks or even months, as we mentioned. Governor, the Office of Governor Terry Branstad today announced the launch of the state's Flood Watch Flickr page. The page will be updated regularly with the most up-to-date aerial photos taken by various state agencies. The photos can be found at www.flickr.com/Mo River Flood. The photos are taken regularly and shared through the cooperation of various state agencies, including Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division, the Iowa Department of Transportation, and the Iowa State Patrol. Iowa Transportation Department says Highway 5 near Hartford in south-central Iowa has been closed by flooding. The highway stretches southeast of Des Moines and is among several roadways covered by rain runoff from various thunderstorms across the state late last night and early this morning. The National Weather Service says flash flood warnings remain in effect for several east-central Iowa counties. Storms dumped up to 5 inches of rain in some spots. The Weather Service says that near Indianola, the water is more than 4 feet over flood stage and expected to rise nearly 6 more feet this morning. Officials are looking at control changes after the errant touch of a computer screen set off a storm sirens in Clive, Urbandale, and West Des Moines. Jeff Dumaruth of the Westcom Dispatch Center says an employee was reviewing procedures at around 10:15 p.m. Wednesday when she touched the screen. She was showing a coworker which button to click to set off the sirens. Dumaruth said the woman didn't realize she was working with a touch screen monitor. He told the Des Moines Register that he's looking into a control change that would require dispatchers to touch the screen twice to sound the alarms. An Iowa Farm Bureau expert says the continued flooding is eventually going to impact all of us in the pocketbook. And IFB Director of Research and Commodity Services Dave Miller says lots of crops, acres, have already been covered in water.
Very persistent rain and wetness in the Dakotas and in the eastern Corn Belt, Ohio, and into Pennsylvania has probably resulted in at least 1.5 million acres that won't be planted. That were intended to be planted to corn, and that number may rise when we get the June 30th number of the acreage report.
Miller says at least 100,000 acres of Iowa farmland will be impacted by the Missouri River flooding, and another 50,000 will be indirectly impacted. The loss of acres cuts the supply of corn and beans and increases their price. Miller says the corn price increases eventually will lead to higher food prices.
It really depends on how close the food product is to the actual corn. And what I mean by that is it will show up in corn tortillas fairly fast. And it will probably show up in corn oil or soybean oil, those type of thing of products, the ingredient type products fairly quickly.
The impact on pork and beef prices will take a little longer. Miller says prepared foods tend to be slower to rise. He said the increases in fast food and white tablecloth restaurants take longer to develop, but he says once the prices do go up, they don't usually come down very fast, even if commodity prices fall. And he says there's a chance things could change, but it's likely to get worse than better.
This crop has a long ways to go, and most of the potential is down. The risk is to things that could lower the overall yield and make us even more subject to reduced crop prospects and higher prices.
Miller says there's a strong potential for a drought later in the year, which would add another negative to what's already happened. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, as they've done for weeks, anti-government demonstrators have begun to gather after Friday prayers in Syria for renewed protests. Activists say security forces shot and killed two people in the southern province of Daraa and one person at a demonstration near Damascus. Meanwhile, troops backed by dozens of tanks are gathered outside of a nearly deserted town near the Turkish border, preparing to move against protesters and mutinous troops there. Stocks have opened lower on Wall Street today, one day after the market broke its longest losing streak in more than a year. Stocks have suffered this month as weak economic news dampened hopes for a speedy economic recovery. Unless shares recover sharply today, they are on track for their sixth straight weekly loss, the longest down series since the fall of 2002. Right now, the Dow is down 114 points. General Motors is recalling more than 47,000 Cadillac SRX crossover vehicles because of a problem with the side airbags. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the head protection on airbag on the passenger side won't inflate in a crash if no passenger is in the front seat. The recall affects SRX crossovers made between February 2, 2010 and April 29th of this year. And Wichita, Kansas isn't in the middle of a desert, but it may have felt that way in the middle of the night. An unusual weather pattern caused temperatures to soar nearly 20 degrees just after midnight. A forecaster says a pocket of air in the upper atmosphere collapsed, and when it hit the ground, it set winds of more than 50 miles per hour through Wichita. Temperatures rose quickly in that 20-minute span from 85 to 102 degrees. KJAN News Time is 9:14.
Had an accident, but you're afraid to turn in a claim because your rates will go up? This is Brent Wollenhouse from United Group Insurance. With Accident Forgiveness, a new upgrade from Allied Insurance, you don't have to worry about your rates going up. Allied will forgive an accident, even if it's your fault, once every 3 years. Not only is it forgiven, it is forgotten. Have questions? Call me, your Allied agent in Griswold. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
It's not my fault. How many times have you heard it as you dole out the punishment? Ever felt that yourself? Like when you get pulled over and receive a ticket on your way to an important meeting across town? Or you're running late? Or you just meet a cop having a bad day? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance with some good news. It's minor violation forgiveness, part of the On Your Side rewards from Allied Insurance. Mistakes happen. Wouldn't it be great to get a break when you really need it? Call me today, your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.
In the funeral announcements, 86-year-old Alfred Egger of Stewart and formerly of Casey died Tuesday. Funeral services for Alfred Egger will be today at 10:30 at the Casey United Methodist Church. Ockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. 84-year-old Francis Johnston of Fort Dodge died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Francis Johnston will be today at 11 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. 73-year-old Catherine Mater, formerly of Irwin, died Monday in Littleton, Colorado. Funeral services for Catherine Mater will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has arrangements. 100-year-old Ruby Anderson of Sun City, Arizona, died April 29th. Celebration of Life graveside memorial services for Ruby Anderson will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Graveside services for Ruby and Reno Stofferson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Harlan Cemetery. Ruby Stofferson died in January of 2008. Reno Stofferson died in April. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 86-year-old Virgil Nissen of Avoca died yesterday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Virgil Nissen will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. 63-year-old Susan Davis of Fontenelle died Wednesday. Memorial services for Susan Davis will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And 46-year-old Rick Jones of Harlan died Wednesday. Funeral services for Rick Jones are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.